So I think first want to thank the Kalu Institute for hosting me and Chris, that has been so nice in our contacts. And I want to apologize for having departed a little bit from the original title, which was only Deep Brains, Inequality, Tullio Bill and its Mirror. I thought it was a better idea to give a much broader perspective of the subject and not concentrate so much in details that make us miss the whole picture of why it's important what we will be talking about. So essentially, I will be talking about a bunch of works I've been doing in the last year, more or less, with the people from Jerusalem, Amit Givon, Kolia Konechny, Amit Sever, and then a series of work I've started with some collaborators in Paris, on which also we are finishing a forthcoming work. All this set of works are somehow related to different technical and conceptual aspects of strings moving in compact, in non-compact backgrounds which have target space supersymmetry. And we know that to have target space supersymmetry, we need to have a string theory where the world sheet has n equal to 2. And that is trivially the case as strings moving in flat space. But whenever we go to curved backgrounds, these theories are highly interacting non-rational conformal field theories. And only in the last few years, we have learned how to deal with these theories. I will focus on the conformal field theories on which we know more in these days, which are the n equal to 2 Liouville theory and the supersymmetric version of the Witten-Cigar, which was people used to believe it described a two-dimensional black hole, and now in the last months we are learning from several experts that this is a consistent string background, but apparently doesn't have the black hole interpretation. So this is the outline of what I will be telling you. First, I will start with some motivations for why these backgrounds are important for another realization of the principle of holography, different from the familiar ADS-CFT case, but which is believed to also provide an interesting framework to understand open-closed string duality and relation between gauge theories and gravity. And then we will introduce these backgrounds I was telling you about. Then we will see another holographic motivation, which is somehow related to the first one, which is the duality between two-dimensional gravitational systems and matrix models. And then we will see exactly what are the technical results that we have obtained recently in terms of the spectrum, closed string partition functions, and finally, boundary states and D-brains in these backgrounds. And then we will speculate a little bit more about holography. So first, I want to remind you of an interesting idea that was proposed some years ago, immediately after the discovery of the ADS-CFT correspondence. So it was noticed that there is another family where we expect also similar ideas to be working on, which is the case of having string backgrounds which asymptotically have a linear dilaton. And the prototypical example of this is the little string theory discovered by Seiberg as the decoupling limit of the field theory living in a stack of NS5 brains. When one takes the G string coupling constant to zero, there remains still a field theory which is interacting, which is decoupled from the gravity side, and on which we don't know much, too much, because it is a non-local field theory. But as usual in the ADS-CFT correspondence, we expect that the gravity theory, out of which this decoupling limit was taken, still gives an holographic description of these theories. So this is the principle of holography in general for linear dilaton background. And if you see, this principle is in fact at work in the two-dimensional string theories that have a Liouville potential, and they also have a linear dilaton asymptotically. And they have a dual matrix model description. So there is a general conjecture, and these would be the two main instances where we would like to understand this conjecture. The problem when one studies this, the gravitational side of these theories, is that typically the linear dilaton background is strongly coupled, because we know that the exponential of the dilaton, the expectation value, is the string coupling. So string theory will not make sense in perturbation theory, because each diagram will contribute bigger and bigger contributions to any perturbative genus expansion. And since we only know how to do more or less well things in the sphere, we would like to have a G-string very small or under control, so that wherever we do in the sphere, we can believe not to be changed significantly when we go to higher genus. And that's why, in general, the naive or the first system one can build, which are asymptotically linear dilaton, have to be modified to make sense of the theory. And the typical example is having a stack of NS fibrins on top of each other, which has the CHS geometry of this form. So these are the six directions transfer parallel to the brains, and the four directions transverse to the brains can be, in certain limit, can be expressed in these terms. And this is already interesting because this is an exact conformal field theory. This is an SU2 Besumino-Witten model, and this is the direction of the linear dilaton. This geometry is known since some time, that by Oguri and Baffa, this is T dual to singularities in K3 surfaces. So studying the physics of this system also can lead us to some understanding on what happens when we approach a singularity in a moduli space of a Calabi-Yau compactification. But again, that's a singularity, so it's the singularity in the Calabi-Yau corresponds to the badly defined string perturbation theory in the Neve-Schwarz fibrin site. So one way that has been proposed to regulate this problem is very easy. We can just smear the stack of NS fibrins, and instead of having them on top of each other, we put them in a circle, which is transfer in the four directions transfer. We choose a circle, and we put these fibrins in a circle. Or in general, we can choose a less symmetric configuration. But the most important features are already captured by the symmetric configuration, which is also very easily to treat as a deformation of the first conformal field theory. So this deformation was worked out in detail by Sfetsos. And one can see that one obtains a geometry which also is also well-defined. And we have shown in one of the papers I mentioned that one can obtain this geometry by starting with this Besumino-Witten model. I'm making a null gauge. A null gauge is a gauge by a combination of a U1 factor here, time-like, and a space-like factor here with the same coefficient such that the total U1 is null. And one obtains exactly the same background up to this factor, which one obtains it at 1. And this is an overall factor, which presumably takes into account a non-perturbative effect that in the worksheet are missed by the naive procedure of taking the gauging. And this issue of non-perturbative effects in the worksheet will be very important in the following, and apparently it's one of the major technical challenges still in the exact conformal field theory treatment of non-compact backgrounds. So This is the geometry we would like to study. And the, let me just say one thing more, that we see that the effective geometry has this form, which is very related to the original one where we have SU2 times AU1. So the idea, one can think that we have taken out AU1 from the sphere, we have added to the a linear dilaton direction, but we have built with these two directions this coset, which is the geometry of the cigar. But it's important to keep in mind that the way we are gluing this, since we want a supersymmetric background, is through a ZK orbifold fold, which roughly is this projection into integral U1 charges, much like in Gepner models, where one glues minimal models, but then one have to make some projection to keep only integral U1 charges. But in this case, it's interesting because we can trace back what is the geometrical effect of doing this projection into U1 charges. This projection is realized as a ZK orbifold connecting these two things and discarding other things. But the effective geometry is something that it's not like the geometry of this side, which is a bell, or the geometry of this factor, which is the famous cigar, but it is a more involved geometry. In any case, the conformal field theory will be studied in the cigar by itself, because all these geometrical descriptions are only in large K limit, in weakly coupled limit, and the physics that we will be interested in is in the strongly coupling region, because that's what will fix the correlators in the non-gravitational dual. It's like in ADS-CFT, where we know that it's in the bulk of the interactions, the signals of interaction propagate to the bulk of ADS-5 in a finite amount of time. So it's in the bulk of the theory where we will see the interesting physics, and the details of the bulk will definitely fix what will be happening in the boundary. Now,
how do you lose two dimensions? Six-dimensional space, and
yeah, there is a typo here, excuse me, because there should be U1 times U1.
No, I'm saying about the third point, the third item, null gauging of supersymmetric.
Null gauging, yes.
Yeah. Six-dimensional space, and you're supposed to end up with four-dimensional.
Right.
So null gauging gets rid of two dimensions.
Right. That's a, yeah, that's the point. Yeah,
you can. So you're Hamiltonian reduction.
Right. That's exactly the point. I mean, you can show that if your U1 is null, you effectively end up getting rid of two directions.
Ah, I see. Okay.
It's like kind of light cone, you can think.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you. So now there is in the language of the in the T-dual language of the singularity of K3, which is equivalent to this stack of NS5 brains, there is a natural way that one can think that one is resolving this singularity, and it is just adding a Liouville potential to the Landau-Ginzburg description of the polynomial Landau-Ginzburg description of the singular Calabi-Yau. And there are general arguments that n equal to 2 Liouville is the potential that one should add. So what we have here is a kind of, in principle, two different theories that would be describing the physics of the resolved theory, the theory with a small g string. One is replacing one of the directions, two of the original directions, and building a cigar. And in the Calabi-Yau, in the Landau-Ginzburg description, adding a potential which is n equal to 2 Liouville. So this led to Gibbon and Kutasov some years ago to conjecture that in fact n equal to 2 Liouville and the cigar should be the same conformal field theory up to perhaps some form of t-duality, which is the same t-duality that relates the singularity of the Calabi-Yau to the geometry of the NS5 brains. And this is, in fact, what happened, and we will see in a moment what is the exact statement. But just to remind you that we, all along the way, want to keep in mind what is the holographic dictionary, because we would like to extract the more information we can of this this gravitational theory for the dual boundary CFT. So there are in the literature a lot of elaborations about what should be the dictionary between the observables in the string theory side and what they correspond to in the dual theory. But in particular, one expects that the correlators computed in the bulk develop poles at the values of the spectra of the primaries, which correspond to states going on shell in the dual non-gravitational theory. So let me present to you what is the n equal to 2 Liouville theory. So this theory is a theory that can be written in superfields. And when this is the expanded form, but basically one has a complex superfield. And the Lagrangian should be something like the usual kinetic term plus an interaction, which is essentially of this form, plus complex conjugate. And this Q is a constant that is related to a linear dilaton that we have in the real component of the superfield. And this assures that this will be an exactly marginal deformation, because this exponential will have dimension 1. When one expands this, one sees what is the field content of the theory. So we have two fermions, two bosons. These are the real and imaginary part of the superfield, and they are coupled in this way, in this interaction. Now, we see that this is a linear dilaton theory, and we have here the linear dilaton, and this Liouville exponential actually screens the strong clapping region, because whenever we want to go to values of rho, which are negative infinite, this exponential takes a very high value, and in the path integral that will appear with a minus sign, so that will be an exponentially suppressed contribution to any configuration we path integrate over. So effectively, this kills the strong coupling region out of any computation.
But
so
it has psi bar in front of it, in which sense it is positive?
Psi bar exponential. So what's the question?
How does it kill the?
Well, I mean, the only problem is one rho takes large negative values.
Yes. And then this potential kills.
And then this object becomes very big. Uh-huh. And say the configurations of phi in the path integral are independent from the configurations of rho. You basically integrate over all the fields. So
psi includes. Suggest for large rho, psi is decoupled.
For large rho,
it's like a master.
Well, there's also another term, which is just the bosonic potential, right? I mean, you're out here only the.
Well, I should say that I mean, this potential is this expression is the result of not integrating out the auxiliary fields of the superfield. So there is an F field. One should integrate out, and things probably will be changed in the correct way to answer your question. But the reason I wrote this here is that when one does a perturbative computation of correlators using this Kernighan charge, the distribution of the F terms are only contact terms, because they have no dynamical degree of freedom. So you can obtain the same results just using this screening charge and then making some analytical continuations. And that's the prescription to treat, say, to connect between this superfield language, which works in general for supersymmetric theories, with the language of the Coulomb-Gauss formulation of two-dimensional conformal field theories. In fact, for every practical, in every practical computation, we will forget about supersymmetry, because the computations go by bosonizing these fermions. So this will be an exponential. This exponential will add up to these terms. So effectively, the computation that you will be doing is exactly the same that you do for a bosonic theory, which is the bosonic version of this, which is called Sine-Liouville. So every correlator that you compute here will be the same as in Sine-Liouville, if you just redefine the fields in the usual way you would do to do computations in every CFT where you have two fermions, you will bosonize them. Now, when you bosonize them, you lose explicit world sheet super. You lose explicitly the supersymmetry. If you bosonize these fermions, you cannot do supersymmetry transformation to show that this is invariant under anything. But okay, you don't need explicit supersymmetry in the world sheet to have a supersymmetric theory. You just need the spectrum to be supersymmetric and some generators of the algebra. So, okay, so the interest in this theory comes from some time ago, even before these holographic dualities, because this would be the building block one would use to construct non-critical superstring theories, in the same way one puts a Liouville conformal field theory to build two-dimensional or less than two dimensions non-critical strings. So if one wants the non-critical string to have space-time supersymmetry, so there is a paper of like 15 years ago by Kutasov Cyrus where they show that one consistently can do that by generalizing to n equal to 2 the Liouville theory and using this potential. The spectrum of the theory is only the only symmetries it has, which is the n equal to 2 super Virasoro symmetry. And the observables are basically the exponentials, the vertex operators of this, of all these fields. So this is the n equal to 2 Liouville theory. And now let's go to the other theory, which we have studied, which is the cigar. So the cigar is, as I reminded you, the other proposal as to what is the meaning of regulating this singularity. And we see here that the way the singularity is regulated is not through the addition of a potential, but just by changing the geometry. So this one can think of this compact direction as one of the directions we took from the SU2. And we combine this with the linear dilaton direction. So very far away from the tip of the cigar, we have the original background in the weakly coupled region. But the idea is now that as we approach the strongly coupled region, the geometry is deformed in such a way that first we preserve world sheet conformal symmetry. The beta functions are zero, so this should be a solution of the beta function. And it is, in fact, when one takes also this dilaton into account. This one shown long ago, in fact, in Jerusalem. And that's why for some time this was called the Jerusalem cigar. Then we can show that one can obtain this conformal field theory by taking an axial gauging of this coset, both in the supersymmetric and in the bosonic case. We will be interested in the supersymmetric case. And in fact, this corresponds to a family of coset Suminowitten model when one starts with a supersymmetric n equal 1 supersymmetric Suminowitten model. And after taking a coset, one ends up with a theory that effectively has n equal to 2 supersymmetry, and the supersymmetry is enlarged. These are called Kasama-Suzuki cosets, and this would be the simplest, this and SU2 mod 1 would be the simplest example where this happens. And so we see that we have two different interpretations of what is the meaning of the regularization. One is a non-geometrical Landau-Ginzburg one, just add the potential. And the second one is keep thinking of the theory in geometrical terms, but deform the geometry so as to basically kill the half infinite of the strong coupling region in a way that preserves the consistency of the conformal theory. In fact, one can write in free fields the Bessou-Minowitten model, and one can verify that the field content is in fact the same. Basically, one can express all this coset, the Lagrangian, the observables, the symmetries, like in a kind of a Wakimoto bosonization, but then bosonizing again to have only bosons and fermions, and one obtains that one has the free field interaction and the free field terms and an interaction terms that looks much like the other one, but differs in the fact that we have here derivatives of the fields accompanying the exponential. So essentially, this exponential has dimension zero. We can do this because we have a linear dilaton. So the dimension one of the whole interaction term just comes from the terms that multiply this. So one can basically do again some perturbative computations with screening charges, using this as a screening charge, and compare to the computations one can do in n equal to 2 Liouville. And again, one can see that the computations here are effectively the same in the supersymmetric and in the bosonic case. Now, what is interesting in this formulation of the problem is that we already have a complete complete spectrum, very well organized, which we inherit from the Bessou-Minowitten model. From the n equal to 2 Liouville psi, we had Virasoro, but we don't know exactly which representations to take of the theory. But from this side, we know that we will start from representations of SL2 algebra, and we'll just naturally take the coset. And so one obtains these two representations, basically. Ones are continuous representations, which correspond to modes which are extended along the direction of the cigar. And then one has some discrete representations corresponding to modes localize in the strong coupling region of the cigar. And these two modes of the theory have very different dynamics. And this is very important in the dual description in terms of little string theory. Now, the first evidence that these two theories are in fact the same came from some computation done by Fadayev, Samolochikov, that they show that, in fact, using these two screening charges, they did it in the bosonic case, but as I showed to you, the supersymmetric calculations reduced effectively to all the bosonic ones. So they show that when one computes correlators, one obtains exactly the same results. Although the screening charges are the same, and there is no simple way to connect one to the other, and in particular, the number of screening charges that one has to insert is different in one case and in the other. To be more precise, what you can compute in these non-compact target spaces using the free field formalism is not the exact, is not the correlator itself, but it's only the residue of the poles of the correlator. So in general, one would have a correlator as a general function, which one expects is a function of a continuous function of the variables of the fields that one inserts. And at particular poles, these correlators will develop a pole. This pole is related to the divergence that appears in the path integral from the integral of the zero mode of the non-compact directions. One can split in the path integral this rho coordinate, and the zero mode integral will give a pole, and this pole will appear only for particular values of the external momentum, which correspond to being able to screen the total background charge of the linear dilaton by an integral amount of insertions of the screening integral. So in that case, one effectively can do a free field computation, and what one obtains is the pole. And this general approach to treating non-compact conformal field theories, or non-rational conformal field theories, go back to the ideas of Gulli and Lee, and in fact this is the basis on which the Samolochikov, Samolochikov, and Dorn-Otto finally solved, say, the Liouville theory, or Teschner solved the H3 theory, basically taking the information of the free fields just to compute residues. And then one has to find what is the general form of the correlator, say, of three-point functions, which is says that this reproduces this residue, but on top of that satisfies all the axioms that one wants from a conformal field theory, like crossing symmetry, etc. So one of the interesting things that one discovers in the exact solution is that there are more poles than the ones we could have computed by using free fields. And these additional poles could have been obtained if we had assumed that the theory has a dual screening charge. So effectively, this shows that the theory is equally well defined, if you want, by choosing either one screening charge of the other. If you are familiar with the simplest case of Liouville theory, this is the famous duality between B going to 1 over B. In Liouville, one can start just from the Liouville charge, like this, I guess. And then one discovers that this is also a screening charge. What? Light? Ah. Okay. So what I'm saying is that this phenomenon of having a dual screening charge was already noticed some years ago in Liouville theory, in the bosonic, that if one starts with Liouville theory with this exponential, the exact correlation contains pole as if this thing would have been also present in the theory. And one can think that this is like the perturbative definition of the theory, and the non-perturbative definition includes this. The same is happening here, and one can even think that these two dual screening charges are in such a relation, although this is kind of not exactly the case. I don't want to go into these details now. But let me tell you that finally the full proof that these two theories in the n equal to 2 case are equivalent was shown by Ori and Kapustin. And they show that one can realize the supersymmetric cigar as some limit in a gauge linear sigma model of Witten. And this flows to the cigar, but then if one dualizes, performs some t-duality in the way that Baffa discovered, then some perturbative effects appear, which effectively build up the n equal to 2 Liouville potential. And that's how one sees that the two theories are dual through this form of mirror symmetry. And this is a form of mirror symmetry that does not connect to geometries, but just is more abstract, connects one geometrical background, which has only a Landau-Ginzburg description in terms of a potential. And so I would say this is the one of the most interesting applications of this approach of Baffa to mirror symmetry in this non-compact case. Then there is a nice work by David Tong, who shows, in fact, using the same techniques, show precisely what is the statement that I mentioned before about the relation between singularities of K3 and configurations of NS5 brain. So these techniques of Baffa and Ori, I guess, have been very fruitful for understanding what is the mysterious duality. But I should mention that in this proof is essential the fact that we have n equal to 2 explicit supersymmetry, because one strongly uses non-renormalization theorems of n equal to 2 to exclude additional terms that might appear or whatever. And the computational content of the duality, which is just the identity of the correlators, which was discovered by Fadeyev, Samolochiko, doesn't need this explicit supersymmetry. On the contrary, one needs just to to break to do the exact computation. So this is still a kind of a puzzling aspect that just the, all the computational thing that you would be interested in is already present at the bosonic, but the exact derivation strongly needs the explicit n equal to 2 on the theory. Okay, what happens? Okay. Now, I want to mention now another holographic application of these backgrounds. You remember probably last year the paper on the new hat of the SQL1 and the paper by Tombas and Takayanagi proposing that the matrix model description of type 0 A and B, type 0b, say, for concreteness, two-dimensional string theory can be described by the old matrix model by just taking a symmetric potential and filling both sides of the Fermi in a symmetric wedge, which would give stability to the theory. Well, so we proposed our humble generalization of these ideas in Jerusalem last year about what would be the matrix model description of type 0 strings, two-dimensional, in the cigar or in n equal to 2 Liu Bill. So there is a matrix model proposal, which is the KKK matrix proposal. KKK stands for Kazakov, Kostov, Kutazov, perhaps in a different order. Which basically is the formation of the SQL to one matrix model that takes into account vortex configurations on the discretization of the two-dimensional surface, and this in turn leads to the fact that one has to consider not only singlets of the UN matrix model, but all higher representations. And this proposal is basically a way of reconstructing the Sine-Liouville interaction, which is the bosonic dual t-dual of the cigar. So this is a matrix model that would capture the physics of the cigar, assuming that the cigar and the Sine-Liouville is the same theory. So one can think that in the same way, the supersymmetric version of this world shift theory will be captured by the same bosonic matrix model, but with a different filling, with a symmetric filling of the Fermi C. Now, one can always do these conjectures because it is free. But, and of course, the usual now understanding, the usual ideology that these matrix models appears as the decoupling limit of an infinite number of localized brains, or the ZZ-like brains, but those brains that would live in the cigar. But we provided some evidence why this duality should hold and in what conditions. So let me remind you that one of the pieces of evidence this new understanding of the duality between matrix models and type 0 strings is the fact that when one computes string theory correlators, both in the type 0 strings and the bosonic case, the correlators are basically the same up to some leg factors, because the form of the interaction potential is the same. So, in fact, the supersymmetric analysis adds, if you want, stability, but it will not change the physics as far as correlators of observables are concerned. So And one can show that holds because the exponentials, the n equal 1 and n equal 0 exponentials, can be put in the same form. In the case of Sine-Liouville, the Sine-Liouville theory, when one takes c equals to 26, and that means a particular value of the background charge of the linear dilaton, this means that one can have a family of marginal perturbations which are of Sine-Liouville type. This is the bosonic version of n equal to 2 Liouville. And there is a family at any radius. In fact, the bosonic cigar was shown to be dual when the radius takes a value 3/2. So our proposal is that the radius should take the value 1 for matching with the n equal to 2 Liouville theory, because it's only when the radius takes the value 1, which is the self-dual radius, this takes a form in which the two coordinates appear in the same standing in the exponential. And that is crucial because this will always be the case in the supersymmetric theory. By definition, the supersymmetric theory is just a function of the superfield, and this is, say, the real part and the imaginary part of the superfield, and it will always appear in the exponential with the same coefficient. So there is only one particular value of this family of radius where this is the case, and this at c equal at the self-dual radius, and it is not at the value that describes the physics of the 2D black hole. So the concrete proposal is that if one takes the R parameter, which is also a parameter of the matrix model, and puts the value R equal to 1 in the matrix model, one would have a dual description, a matrix description, non-gravitational description, of type 0 strings moving in the background of the cigar. So, of course, one now expects to be able to check this in some cases. For that, one needs more technology, which is what we are going to see in a moment, which is basically, okay, building the D-brains and studying their properties and trying to find from the continuum formulation some deeper understanding. Okay, so how much time do I have? Ten minutes? 15? Okay. Maybe I'll have to run a little bit. Okay, so let me just tell you that the connection between the Kasama-Suzuki coset and the n equal to 2 Virasoro, which are the two algebras of the two sides, is actually very, very close, since in fact the two representation, the two theories lead to the same spectrum, in the sense that if one just computes by using the standard coset procedure characters of n equal to 2 of the supersymmetric coset, and this one does by just taking the usual character of SL2, multiplying by characters of the fermions, and kind of extracting the U1 that one is gauging, so what remains is the n equal to 2 character of the coset. So these characters are exactly the same characters that one would have obtained just by studying representations of n equal to 2 Virasoro. Now, people with some more years than me will remember that this was, in fact, one of the major pieces of evidence that identified the unitary minimal models with certain Vesu-Minowitten cosets. Not the identity of the correlators, which is very complicated to obtain from the Vesu-Minowitten coset, but the fact that all the representations are the same in the sense that the characters one computes by cosetting Vesu-Minowitten models reproduce exactly the same irreducible characters of Virasoro theory, of the Virasoro algebra. In fact, these characters will be very important when we study deep brains, because we will study open string partition functions, we will build a spectrum of of a string stretch between d-brains in terms of these characters. And the computation of the characters themselves, one can show that it's very easily done in SL2, and it's very difficult to do in n equal to 2. The reason is that the structure of the null descendants that one has to take out, as usual, in the case of n equal to 2 Liouville, is very complicated because there are descendants that have fermionic nature and descendants that have a bosonic nature. And the fermionic descendants are not getting rid of just by subtracting, but by dividing. And this leads to, one can check, I mean, the papers, the very technical, that end up finally obtaining one character that can be obtained in one line just by using this procedure. And that the reason is that the affine algebra basically acts freely in the bosonic side. OK. Now, one progress that one can try to do, OK, one thing that one can try to do once one has the characters in full detail is trying to find modular invariants of this theory. So modular invariant of the cigar of n equal to 2 Liouville in terms of the character. So one first approach is to try to organize all these characters in an efficient way, which in some cases can be done. Let me remind you that if you have a compact boson at a particular radius where the square of the radius is a rational number, one can reorganize the characters in terms of only a finite number of characters and write a modular invariant that just involves a finite number of primaries instead of the infinite number of primaries that one has in a compact boson. I think this is an exercise in Joe's book, right? So the same one can show that it happens here. In n equal to 2 Liouville, one has the spectral flow symmetry. And one can show that, in fact, when k is an integer or even a rational number, where k is the level of the SL2, one can reorganize all the characters in terms of a finite number of characters. And moreover, the characters mix among, just close among themselves under modular transformations. The interesting feature here is that we have these discrete and continuous representations that I was mentioning, the ones that extend along the cigar and the ones that are localized. And they mix among themselves under a modular transformation. So, well, the continuous basically give continuous, and the discrete have a continuous part with an integral and a discrete part. The bad news is that this matrix is not unitary. So the naive modular, diagonal modular invariant will not work. I'm not aware if one expects, in general, this matrix to be unitary, this matrix, in non-rational conformal field theories. What we did verify is that this matrix does satisfy another usual property of rational conformal field theories. I didn't write it here. But is the fact that the matrix square gives the charge conjugation. And in this case, the charge conjugation is just changing the sign of the U1 charge. Moreover, one can use all this technology to study representation of the bosonic coset. And in fact, what we did is more related to the bosonic coset and this idea of defining extended characters in terms of the n equal to 2 spectral flow was done by Eguchi Sugawara. We verified this property. And these ideas were used recently by a Greek group to study d-brains in the cigar. But the problem of finding a modular invariant still remained from the completely algebraic point of view. And one can, in fact, obtain a modular invariant construction with this spectrum by just going to a path integral a computation, which by definition will be modular invariant, but one obtains everything in a very closed form, and when they have to disentangle how these characters appear, and this is a non-trivial task. But one can do that. Basically, there is a chain of works that lead to our case. There is a study of the path integral in the bosonic case by Hanani et al. Then this group in Paris studied the supersymmetric case by adding a boson. And finally, we, in our work in Paris, we constructed the partition function of the supersymmetric cigar by using a technique of a marginal deformation that realizes the coset by preserving supersymmetry along the way. This goes back to some ideas of Gibbon, Kiritsis, that one can think of a gauging of a Bessel-Winner-Witten model as the infinite final point of some marginal deformation. If one does this, this is what one obtains, and one then has to work to disentangle the spectrum of the characters, and in fact, one obtains the characters that we were looking for, but with some caveats that are very physical, and we see here why we couldn't build naively a modular invariant just algebraically. The reason is that, first, there are some divergent contributions to the path integral that appear because of the infinite volume of the cigar. One is integrating, in fact, over the infinite volume, so one expects that there is some need for regularizing the theory. When one does this regularization, so one obtains some term which diverges, and the other term is an effective density which is finite for the continuous spectrum. This thing can be dependent on the regularization scheme, so this is usually what happens in these non-compact theories. But moreover, there are some puzzling vectors which we don't expect from any algebraic construction, which basically have the property that are characters that have a primary conformal value of primaries, but multiplicities of the discrete conformal primaries, conformal weights of the continuous, and multiplicity of the discrete, which is something which nobody knows yet how to make sense. I think I have 1 minute. Okay, let me just review what are the other things that we have been building. Basically, the D-brains are the major breakthrough, I think, from our point of view. By obtaining D-brains from n equal to 2 Liou Biel directly by descending from the non-D-brains of ADS3 or H3. And this basically verifies once more that the duality holds. And what basically this shows is that the duality holds if you want in the presence of a boundary, which can be kind of guessed, but this is an explicit proof by construction. So we could take the values of one-point functions, which are the couplings of closed string to open strings, the coefficients of the Shibashi states, if you want, in the card states, which are computed from the conformal bootstrap approach, and one takes them by descent by taking some Fourier transform. This is related to representation theory. And the one-point functions that one obtains can be shown to be the right one-point functions of the cigar, of the supersymmetric cigar. So we have two kinds of D-brains. We have first D0 brains, which are of the ZZ type, in the sense that they correspond to states localized in the strongly coupling region. And the way they are obtained also in the conformal bootstrap approach are using the same assumption that are used in the ZZ derivation of the ZZ brains by certain assumptions as to what happens when one degenerate operator in the half plane approaches the boundary. And one can see that this, in fact, is a coupling, is represent D-brains in the strongly coupled region, because this has poles only corresponding to the discrete states. I mentioned that before that any correlator has poles. The poles are of two different types, either of extended nature or of localized. So these localized brains have only poles of the localized type. One can tell the equivalent story of the extended brains. There is some technology which is very interesting to compute the Cardy condition, because if you look, for example, this is a sum of characters. This, you will not find a modular transform of this in any book. And one has to work hard using properties of some analytical functions. And the techniques that are relevant here were studied by number theorists in the beginning of the century, studying some what is called the mock theta functions, which are some things that already Ramanujan had already written somewhere. But these turn out to be the relevant mathematics. The crucial point is that when one takes a modular transform of this, after working a lot, one obtains an expression which doesn't make sense because it has a conformal dimension which is imaginary here in the exponent. And this would be the closed string channel, and we expect to have physical things here. So one has to shift the contour. And when one shifts the contour, one picks poles that correspond to the discrete state. So what one has is that the closed string channel has this continuous integral of physical states and this discrete contribution of the poles that we pick that corresponds effectively to the state that are localized in the strong coupling region. Well, this is the similar story for the extended brains. The interesting thing here is that one can think of these brains in these two dual pictures, either geometrically or kind of an abstract way. When one studies the D-brains of Zamolochik, the ZZ or the FZT, one only has the abstract way of thinking because there is no geometrical picture as to what is happening in the strong coupling region. And one only has like properties of poles. And in fact, this lack of geometrical intuition, I guess, was a source of confusion in the first paper of that they identify eigenvalues of the matrix models with D-brains. But in this case, we have the two dual descriptions, because for every n equal to 2 Liouville object, we have also a geometrical picture. In fact, one can write some Born-Neufeld action and study what is the geometry of these D-brains. And one can see, for example, that the extended D-brains satisfy this equation with a certain parametrization of the SIGGART. One can also extend this to orbifolds of the SIGGART very easily by just taking jumps in the open string channel. And what we are now doing is this, okay, taking all this technology developed for the n equal to 2 case and going back to the original problem of studying the geometry of the NS5 brains. So one has to couple this to some n equal to 2 minimal model and take some projection of the orbifold and then study the properties of the D brains that one obtains, the spectrums. And the interest of this now starts to be great, because we have a microscopic description of many configuration of D-brains that are relevant to study gauge theories in general and the little string theories in particular, say the Hanani-Witten theory of having NS5 brains and D-brains backgrounds. We can have a kind of microscopical description of the relevant degrees of freedom by building all these D-brains in the backgrounds of NS5. So this is some work in progress, and we have some conjectures as to related to the fact that the one-point functions of the coupling can be thought as a kind of beta functions of the little string theory, and we are just elaborating on this. So we hope to report soon. And okay, so the conclusions is that we can now use the techniques that have been developed in Liouville in H3 to readdress some old problems of holography. In particular, the n equal to 2 Liouville will be very fruitful. And we are learning more and more about the closed string side of these backgrounds. There are some interesting open problems, both technical and conceptual. First, in the case of D-brains in Liouville theory, we know that the two kind of D-brains, the ZZ D-brains and the FZZ D-brains, are not unrelated. But one can think as a localized D-brain, a ZZ brain, as a kind of difference between two FZZ brains with different parameters. One can think that one kind of sends one extended D-brains with some parameter and takes out another extended D-brain with a different parameter. And the different is some object which is localized in the strong coupling region, which is the localized D-brain. And these words have some mathematical formulation that the two D-brains are part of the same construction. So we still would like to have a similar understanding of the two kind of D-brains in this more complicated setting. We would like to understand how this non-perturbative aspect Then the non-perturbative generation, say, of the n equal to 2 Liouville potential might come from the Bessou-Minowitten understanding. Naively, the t-duality of the gauge linear sigma model, one should be able to obtain it from the Bessou-Minowitten side, but apparently we are missing some non-perturbative effects. And this is what we are now working hard on, and understanding what is the d-brains in NS5 brain backgrounds. So that would be all. And since today, this evening, starts the new Jewish year, I wish to thank you all. And happy new year, Jews and non-Jews, for the next year. Hopefully, we can answer all these questions in this next year. Thank you. Again?
You didn't say anything about black holes in this thing.
Well, the reason is that I'm afraid that here people will will say that the new fashion is that the cigar is not a black hole, and there are some evidence that is growing for this. The geometry, when you analytically continue, has an horizon. So that was the first suggestion, that this is a black hole, but it doesn't. First of all, the geometry is only right at leading order in 1 over k. So one cannot say that just having a leading order geometry that looks like a black hole means that the complete non-perturbative theory is a black hole. To be able to say so, one has to do some concrete computations of quantum gravity type, say the entropy, or derive some aspects that we expect as quantum properties at black hole. And in the recent months, different tests of this kind have been failing. So I know of the talk of Maldacena in strings, and some months ago in Princeton also, where he showed that from the matrix model point of view, there is no way to, from the KKK matrix model point of view, there is no way to attribute an entropy to this object. Either one obtains zero or something negative that doesn't make sense at all. Just all the possible configurations of degeneracy of the states that one would measure just don't lead to anything sensible. And he didn't publish this yet, so the exact argument one has to wait. But then there is a paper by Martinek of some not long ago, where he shows basically that in two-dimensional strings, one doesn't expect black holes, because the energy that one would need to produce a black hole is never attained in any scattering process in two-dimensional strings. So that would be another piece of evidence. And I guess Sen is also struggling with this problem in his last work. I'm not aware what is his statement. I've heard Maldacena saying that he predicts that in 1 year. He said this 2 months ago, so in 10 months, we will have a complete understanding as to whether there is or not a 2D black hole in string theory. So okay, we are waiting and, of course, working also in parallel to understand this issue. That's why I didn't mention anything.
If the cigar is not a black hole, what is it?
It's a cigar. And smoke it. I didn't see the Che Guevara was very comfortable.
It seemed just. Well, to be slightly more precise, I guess it's some kind of thermal state.
Wow.
I mean, it's got a periodic imaginary time. So what else is there about it? Is it just a gas of thermal whatevers, tachyon modes?
Yeah, probably it appears as some condensation. This is, I mean, the usual problem.
I guess the claim is it doesn't have an entropy that goes like 1 over h bar.
I guess that's the claim.
It could really be quite a conventional thermal system.
Right. So that this might be some condensation of objects. The problem with this thinking of this background as some condensation is the problem of this background independence in two dimensions that. One never knows what is the. This is a non-normalizable state. The perturbation of the cigar appears to be a non-normalizable state. So one does not expect that this will appear dynamically in any dynamical process, where we expect that only a normalizable state will emerge. So basically, one would think of this as just a given background on which one does scattering of normalizable particles. So
the Lorentzian.
Yeah. The Euclidean black hole. I mean the cigar. I'm talking about the cigar. I mean, just to make sense of the Euclidean version as such, just what is. I mean, it's a, well, I'm not saying anything new to, if say, I say this is a consistent background string theory.
But it's a thermal background, it's not a ground state. So, I mean, it's some kind of thermal state.
It's an Euclidean.
Well, but if you allow yourself to analytically continue.
But you might not be able.
Okay, yeah, that, then probably it's safe.
Any questions for Ari? Thank you again.